Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Stu Webb here at StuWebb.com, and it is Tuesday, March the 2nd, 2021. It's the second show for the day. Did one this morning with Paul and Joe. Now, we're having a discussion. I've got the honor again to have Professor Paul on with Charlene, who's a nurse. And we're having a discussion about nursing homes and how they're killing off all the elderly and how the fact is that you can't talk to them. They've been under lockdown in this country for over a year. And if you talk to them, you have to do it through a window. Half of them can't hear. I had to get my dad walkie-talkie so we could talk and he could talk to his grandkids, etc. Here's the point. Half the people in that nursing home would die. Loneliness, the other stuff. What a way for the government, one, to get rid of the problem of paying Social Security and paying for nursing homes and Medicare and Medicaid for those elderly people. Second, it stops any retirements they've got from any corporations, which are pretty much in the control of 400 men now in America. And it cuts that bill out, and it gets rid of all these old people. Now, here they come in wanting to vaccinate them. It's up to them to get the vaccination. But they're being fed all this propaganda and all this stuff, and so they're going to end up dead. I've talked to a lot of nurses, and I've talked to them in the hospitals, I've talked to them in nursing homes, and I've talked to different ones. A lot of them are awake, more so than what anybody believes. But they're being instructed. Now, there's two other things have happened. Cuomo's in trouble over nursing home abuse and what he did there. And then we now have Charlene inform me this morning that the Pennsylvania governor's in trouble. They're bringing him up on nursing home abuse. And that should be done because I've seen it. I've seen it with friends. I've seen it with my own parents. They're understaffed and underpaid is the problem, folks. You usually in nursing homes, you've got good, caring people. And they love to take care of their patients. It's in their nature, being nurses. And the problem is because someone I know who ran a nursing home, brought more staff up, had it functional, great nurse, ended up becoming a state investigator here in Missouri now, the head chief. She's that good. And as she said, Stu, it's underpaid and understaffed at the nursing homes. That's the problem. But now we have all this abuse going on where they're killing people off, underreporting numbers, overreporting numbers, all the craziness. And we've got this stuff now. These vaccinations that they want to give everybody. And I mentioned on earlier show, 2,300 were shipped up to Missouri-Iowa border to a town, telling everybody to come get vaccinated the next couple of days, and only 700 got vaccinated. That's about a third. Joe mentioned on yesterday's show, he believes one of the plagues is a third of mankind dies from a plague. Is this the plague? Because you took the vaccination? It's proof and evidence is out there. 8 to 10% of the people are now dying within a month after taking the vaccinations. How foolish do you want to be? It's got the chip in it, the mark of the beast. All I can do is keep telling you. But we had subject here on several things of other things that are going on. And I want Charlene to jump in here and Paul both regarding, especially you, Charlene, being a nurse. Now, explain to me about, this isn't even FDA-approved vaccination, and it's experimental vaccination on the humans. Explain what you were saying, would you please?
These vaccines are not FDA-approved. They rushed through the testing. They didn't even do animal testing. So you, the human, are the guinea pig. All these people are doing is all these nurses are putting themselves out of a job, posting these vaccines into these elderly people. They're the ones going to be without a job. Yeah, they're filling these elderly people with these vaccines. You can go up on the doctor's website and they're listing how many people are dying from the vaccine, some days, some hours, some weeks. And it's mostly elderly. And I brought to, this is their program. 30% of America is elderly. It's called the baby boomers. And so they're a third economics or its finances, and so the government considers them a burden. They need medical, they need housing, they need nursing, they need care. And so this is a way how you exterminate your elderly. So if you have your loved ones in a nursing home and you're letting them be vaccinated, these vaccines are not tested. They have not been animal tested. They are not FDA approved. They told you to read the insert. They're experimental.
Good point. Paul, you want to comment on that?
I find very little to disagree with, and I guess I am amazed that I'm amazed that people are willing to take the jab, and I am also amazed that I'm amazed that people are willing to have a, whatever it is, a swab stuck in the back of their eye socket, which makes no sense to me. And I'm amazed that people trust the same people who are behind the world wars, who are behind eugenics, who are behind depopulation, and who feed off pain, suffering, misery, destruction, and death, that people will go to those same people and think that they're cared for. And I know the simple term is normalcy bias, that the good people, the sheeple, they just can't imagine that someone would screw them over. I just don't know where all this trust in the parasites comes from. You know, it just seems to me that there should be no trust. It's so obvious that the people who are in power, they're parasites. They take what's not theirs. They serve their dark lords. And I guess I don't know why I'm amazed that I'm amazed, but that's my point, guys. And back to you.
Most people are trustworthy. Let's say we're loving and caring, and we don't think what they do. We wouldn't think of hurting someone and injecting them with poison and trying to kill them, because we have hope for humanity and love for one another, because we serve God. These people don't serve God. They serve the devil. They are a bunch of psychopaths. And the more stuff they get, the more rewards they receive from their God. Sorry, I'm brutal today. I told you I wasn't a nice person today.
Hey, that's fine. I want you to be brutal. Tell the people how it is. Now, Paul, there's some other subjects that was brought up besides the vaccination, nursing homes and stuff. You want to pick it up?
Well, one of the things that continues to fascinate us, and we have a great deal of both curiosity and concern, is Bible prophecy. And we had Joel on recently, actually yesterday and today, and Joel has encouraged the reader to go to Wikipedia and see what they said about dispensationalism. And I think Joel's bigger point is that their plan, meaning the dark side's plan, is right out of the book of Revelation, and that they need a dispensationalism as part of their plan that is connected to Revelation, which of course is to build a third temple in Israel and have the new world order run out of there. And I think I'd like to hear what you have to say, Charlene, about dispensationalism, and then where we are in Bible prophecy, and then
already had their third temple. This they're trying to do is the fourth temple, and they already put it up, and they already had killed a lamb, and that was what, a couple years ago, when they did the ceremony, when the priests were on the altar and and they did the sacrifice, and they were wearing penates, and this was supposed to be a holy ceremony. There already was. You got this. Everybody forgets about Tel Dan. Tel Dan, T-E-L-D-A-N. You can go Google it. And what was Tel Dan? Tel Dan is in Israel and on Syria border. Now you know why they want Syria in that. Because they found the temple there. And that was their first temple. And that was Satan's first temple. And they want their temple back. And then you got King David. He built the temple. Okay? And then you got Herod. Temple. So they already had three temples, okay? So this is their fourth temple. So the people don't study and they don't read the Bible and they don't do the research, they're going to believe this nonsense. Look, I was all trapped into the Hebraic roots movement also. And what the Hebraic root movement is, and all you people can come at me on Facebook. I'm Charlene Cleo, C-L-E-O-E-R-B-E-N, and come at me. And all this Hebraic root movement is to take you away from Jesus Christ and what he did for you on the cross. When you go back into the Hebraic roots movement, you're going back into the temple sacrifices, you're going back into the feast days. That's why they got you learning about all the Sabbaths now, and you're Shalom Shabbat, and you're doing all that, okay? And that's John Hickey, and what was his book? The Four Blood Moons. And all of them four blood moons are on the feast day. All the Christians were worshiping it, waiting for Jesus to come back at the first blood moon, which happened on Passover. And then what was the next one? The Hanukkah. And so it just took on for four blood moons. And after that, the solar eclipse. Yeah. And did Jesus return? No. But everybody's still following him, and they're worshiping this movement, and they're bowing into this. Look, I was in the Hebraic root movement, and I went into it because I figured the Jews have been working with God, and they've been worshiping God since the beginning, since God created Adam and Eve. You go to Torah, and they wrote the first five books of the Bible and everything. And then when you find out that this whole Hebraic root movement is, and they bring in special rabbis. Jonathan Kahn, Jonathan Harris, come on. You all know them all, okay? And you got this Terry Stone. And they're all teaching you some new thing in the Bible, some new mystery that's in the Bible that they're showing you through the Hebraic root movement. But it's not really new. You brought up Revelation. Okay, let's talk about Revelation. Go read Revelation chapter 18 and 19 about Babylon. Babylon is fallen, it's fallen. Okay, go take that book and now go look at Jeremiah 50 and 51. Okay, it's the same exact book. Okay, let's go and look at Revelation 19 and 20. Okay, go. Take Ezekiel 38 and 39, the same exact book. So they got you believing that we're Babylon and we're going to be destroyed. We're not going to be destroyed. They gave up their right to the blessing when they killed Jesus. When Pilate came out and he asked the people, "I see no fault in this man, no sin in him." And what did they say? Crucify him, let his blood be upon our heads and upon our children and our children's children. They brought the curse down on them. This whole thing is about taking us off of this planet because if they think they get rid of us because we are the children of God, we believe in God, we believe in Jesus Christ, then they get the first one, they get the firstborn blessing. Any questions?
Paul?
Wow. Well, Charlie, where do you think we are in the timeline on Bible prophecy? One of the things that I tried to explain was there are really three different ways to approach Bible prophecy. One is futurism, and that is a byproduct of dispensationalism. And Tim LaHaye is this guy that wrote a bunch of Left Behind books. And so the fundamental point of dispensationalism is Christian doesn't have to worry about anything because he's going to get raptured out of here. And it's the Jews that are going to go through the time of Jacob's trouble, and there's two different covenants. And you wonder, where do they come up with this stuff? You know, I say, well, I want to understand, you know, where do you get this from? And I was led to 2 Timothy, where they supposedly rightly divide the Word of God. Now, when I read 2 Timothy, right, the divine word of God is all truth, goes through Jesus. And I have no clue. It just strikes me as beyond curious that someone takes that verse, says it's the most important verse in the Bible because it only is said once, and then they create this dispensationalist doctrine out of the rightly dividing the word of God. And it's beyond my capacity to understand or explain. And then the second most common reason for the dispensationalist to explain their pre-trib rapture happens to be that the church isn't mentioned after Revelation 6. Charlene, can you make sense of what I'm saying, or am I just too all over the place?
Okay, then why are we still here? Because by all accounts, we're on several different timelines. We're at the New World Order, where all the kings have accepted this spirit that comes out of a mouth, looks like a frog, and goes into all the kings of the earth. Okay, so that's after Revelation chapter 6. We're also in the New World Order. We're also in, we're about ready to be destroyed. Right now, a lot of people are looking for the two witnesses. So if the church is gone, then why am I still here? Why are you still here? Why are they still here? It's a trick. It's an illusion to get you angry at God because you're left behind. Okay? Tim LaHaye and Jeremy Jenkins wrote them up. That you're left behind. They were Christians that were left behind, right? God loves us, but he left us behind to go through all this tribulation and the Antichrist killing everybody. And so that you would turn away from God because God hates you, right? Okay, and this way they can get their new world order because that's what they have to do. They have to destroy Christianity and get you away from God and believing in Jesus Christ so that they can bring their new world government and their true world religion of worshiping Lucifer.
Very good point, Charlene.
Well, they can't bring out Lucifer with the Christians still here. Because we have the power to get rid of them. We know how to get rid of them. Because we're the truth, we're the light. Remember, if you're with God, you have that light of God in you, and you can see that demon in that person. So he can't come out. He can't come out and show the whole world that he's this good guy. Remember, the Antichrist wants to stand in the temple saying, I am God, and the whole world bows down and worships him.
Now,
and then you can't have that with the Christians here because we're going to say, no, you're not God, you're not Jesus. And so they have to get rid of us. And that's another point that me and Paul and Stu were talking about, is that this trappism was a way to pull out all the Christians, that they can pull out all the Christians and identify you, and now they're going to come after you and put you in the FEMA camp.
Now, this evangelical movement out here, by the way, they all want to convert to Judaism now because they're the chosen people. Some of the latest stuff I've heard in the past couple of years. Jokes. But that's a reality. Now, Pokemon... Go ahead, Paul.
Well, I was going to get you to comment. One of the the most powerful verses in your favorite book, your favorite gospel, Matthew, Matthew 27:51-52. And it says that the dead in Christ shall rise first. And actually, when Jesus rose from the dead, there were other people who had died that also arose. How does that fit in with Matthew 24 and Luke 21?
Okay, thank God someone has a brain cell.
Stuart Webb, yes.
Yes. Okay, we'll go to Luke. Everybody knows Lazarus and the rich man, and they both died and went into hell. And Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom. And the rich man said, Brother Abraham, can you send Lazarus over here just to dip his finger in water, cool my lips? And he said, no, you can't, you're not out of here. There's this chasm between us, and you can't come over here. Okay, so now we both know, as you just heard, they were in hell. This was in, and this is Abraham, okay? Father Abraham is in hell. Now, when Jesus died on the cross, there was a great earthquake, and all the dead saints in the earth woke up and rose up out of the grave, and a whole world seen them. And when Jesus ascended into heaven, they went with him. So the whole world seen Abraham, David, whoever was bound in that chasm. And that's why they said when Jesus died on the cross, he conquered death, hell, and the grave, and he released the captives, because we were trapped. We were trapped in there. Even though we weren't being punished like the evildoers that weren't getting water, that were being tortured by the demons, we can still see them. We can still hear them. We can still hear the screams. So it is a way of being tortured. And so when Jesus died on the cross, that's when they got out of hell. Does that answer your question?
Well, I think so. Stu, are you satisfied with that response?
I think she's pretty on target. Now, let's go to Popeyemon for a minute. Where's his role play in this, Charlene? I'm talking about Pope. The Pope.
I know, I'm joking. Let's call answer and then I'll respond.
He is a game. He is a game.
Here's what I've read, and I am not surprised at all by this, but Jorge Bergoglio, who chose the name Francis, which would be consistent with Vatican prophecies and even with the Book of Revelation, he's going to bring in the Antichrist, I think, and I'm not knowledgeable enough or spiritually connected in such a way that I know who the false prophet and the Antichrist will be, but he is going to the Chaldean city of Ur, or often pronounced also as Ur of the Chaldees, and he's going to do a ritual there. And it starts the 40 days of weeping for Tammuz. And one of the things that I've long said, actually since I was 14, when I was told I knew nothing, to shut the F up. And my brother's first wife, who passed from cancer, she was the one that advised me that I knew nothing. And she did give me some directive. She told me that the whole Roman Catholic Church and the whole Roman Catholic religion, and especially the Vatican, was corrupt beyond anyone's capacity to fathom. And she said all roads lead to Rome. And that sent me on a 48-year study of Rome, the Vatican, the Jesuits. And so I must admit that I've been greatly influenced by her advice to study the Vatican, to study the writing of the Jesuits. And the Society of Jesus, I think, was actually founded long before Ignatius Loyola, who's given credit. But I give you that preamble, Charlene, just to say that I think that Zionism, it could possibly be a Roman project rather than a Khazarian project. Now, one of the things that I will admit is I can be wrong, but after reading the primary source documents from the Vatican and the Jesuits, I happen to believe that they are the intelligence apparatus in the global or shadow worldwide government that is going to bring in their Antichrist. So I see Jesuits everywhere. And what I see with Zionism is not just the Jews, it's the Jews, it's the Jews. I see the Jesuits, it's the Jesuits, it's the Jesuits. So I can be very wrong. And Charlene, now I turn it to you. Who is behind this whole thing?
Okay, Richard Finkelstein tell you an interview with Rabbi Abraham Finkelstein.
Now that's, Charlene, that's on my website.
Get into the churches. And he said that was easy, the money. And when they first started it, they just went right in there and started burning the books. And if you go watch the video, it's called The Key of David, and it's called Why Most People Don't Understand Bible Prophecy. It explains to you that our first 100 years of history has been totally destroyed, and who was involved in that was the Vatican and, let's say, your Zionists. And they destroyed all our books and rewrote Christianity into Catholicism. And that's why we had the Reformation with Martin Luther. Not Martin Luther King Jr., Martin Luther in the 1400s. When he put the 95 thesis to the door about God, we are not saved by works, we are saved by grace. And he had 95 theses on, he put that, and this was the breakaway from the church, and that's why we're called Protestants now. Now, we'll continue. The Pope is a Satanist, he worships Satan, and Paulus, she is evil, okay? She is, we can call her Mary, because if you look at the pictures of Mary when she's weeping, that's weeping to Lewis. And if you go into the Bible, just look up weeping to Lewis, and what was Jesus and the prophet saying? That they were worshiping weeping Tammuz, and she's a demon, okay? And so what they are worshiping is a demon. And if you had Amber on, she would have told you that 7 months ago that the people in Israel, Netanyahu and all of them, had announced that the Messiah has arrived. And we haven't seen him. And we're all speculating, who is this Messiah? See, he won't come out of the shadows. We can't seek him because we know who he is. See, us Christians are still here. And that's why we're in this war right now. And let's say the Pope, a couple years ago, he said, Jesus is not returning. It's been 1600 years, he ain't coming yet, he ain't coming. You know, Matthew 24, you discussed it, and I discussed it. You see my favorite book in the Bible, because of the rapture and all that. I used to bring it out of it. And I told you earlier, there's scripture in the Bible, Matthew 24, verse 48, 49, 50, and 51. And we're on to that wicked servant who saith in his heart, my Lord, the last is coming. And we're on to that wicked servant, what's going to happen? He'll be eating and drinking with the drunkard, and he'll be cut asunder, and he'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The word of that servant comes to that day without a day and hour that he is not aware of. So this Pope does not know scripture. He doesn't know that this is a curse. That's why when we discussed the rapture last time in Matthew 24, I told you, it's in Matthew 24, it says, two people will be walking in a mill, one will be taken, one will be left behind. Two people walking in the field, one to be left, and one to be left behind. Okay, one to be taken, one to be left behind. That's supposed to be the rapture. But if you read the scriptures, what comes next is the great day of the Lord. And that's when God himself is coming down. God himself is coming down here, okay? It's going to be worse than the power of Babel. Yes, God, we came down, he ate mankind. He said, I'm going to give them over to their imagination and do whatever I do, what they want to do. And then when they built that tower, they had the power to strike at God. And when they went up and climbed that tower and struck up at God, he said, let us go down and confound their language. And that's when we have all these new languages. But see, when God comes down this time, it's going to be a great day of wrath. Because he's had it. He's angry. He's mad about what the wicked did. And if you read Matthew 13, weeds and the tares. Go read it. The weeds and the tares. And who are the tares? T-A-R-E-S. They are the children of the wicked ones. And what's going to happen to them is that God's going to send out the angels and he's going to stick a sickle in the ground and it's going to reap all the wicked. It's going to pull them up into a barrel of hay and throw them into the fiery flames. So God's coming for judgment on the wicked. And the reason, see, if you want to talk about judgment, look at the Great White Throne Judgment. Who's not at the Great White Throne Judgment? Those people that are believers.
And they're not there. Can I back you up for just a minute for clarification? I am thinking that Tammuz is the baby and Semiramis is Mary. Am I misinformed? I think it's not Nimrod, Semiramis, and then Tammuz. And then in Egyptian, you have Osiris, Isis, and Horus.
You know who Isis is? Nimrod's wife. And who was Nimrod's wife? It was also his mother. And that's why they worship her. And Nimrod was the first Antichrist. He was the first one that rebelled against God. And his father was named King Cush. And they came from the line of Noah. In the book of Noah, Genesis, when you read about Noah had landed about the ark, and he planted a vineyard, and his son and his grandson had done something on them, and his two sons went into the tent, and they covered their father's nakedness. And when Noah woke up in the morning, he had known what they had done to him, and he cursed them to be slaves. Now that is who Nimrod comes from, the two that were cursed. And they
raped
Noah.
Wow. Stu, where are we at on time?
We're at about a half an hour now. But
if you go to the Vatican, they have Satan's throne there. They call it St. Peter's throne. Nobody has ever sat on it. Nobody has ever sat on that throne. And they say it's Peter's throne.
Now, I want to bring up a couple things I brought up in the past couple days between yesterday's show and this morning's show. Very, very knowledgeable, Charlene. Very knowledgeable. But I want you to follow with me on this. Now, you know, I was told that there was Clovenhoof. He's the Black Pope. He was Satan in human form. He had a cloven hoof, they called it. A goat's hoof for a foot. And he had a backwards knee, the goats have. And he was human. He was the Black Pope that died in late, I think it was November 2003. He died. Now, all of a sudden I'm seeing on the news all these big world leaders are going over to meet with Queen of England, the monarch. I don't like monarchs. Kings and queens. We shouldn't have such things on this planet. They're going over to meet with her. And I talk on the phone with one of my super spook buddies, and he's telling me, oh, they're going over to the funeral. the devil's funeral. So I called up another one, Otis, good buddy. And I asked him, and he was NSA, he knows what's going on. He says, oh yeah, they're all going over there. I said, why are they going there? Is that where they're going to bury him? He says, no, they're going to get in the tunnel and go over to the Vatican. Big tunnel. Now, Otis told me about the tunnel. They're all around the planet. This is something else that needs to be revealed. Jim somebody wrote a book about it. They murdered him. Another guy got murdered. He wrote one that showed the tunnels basically he got from U.S. intelligence around the United States itself. And he published his book. I talked to him several times. Now, Otis told me that he rode from the Situation Room, below the Situation Room, at the White House. That's 50 floors below ground, folks. And in the Situation Room, he took a little ride from there through the tunnel and ended up at L.A. International Airport 45 minutes later. He says, Stu, this thing elevated up off the tracks, electronic, and he says, if it had come off the track, I would have been like a fly getting hit with fly swatter on a wall. He said, we had to put oxygen masks on. He said, the gravity, I felt like I was being shot in outer space by a rocket. Now, that's the technology underground, folks, that these people have. The Vatican, it plays a very important role. Because I asked him, I said, okay, so they buried him someplace over in the Vatican. Yeah, they buried him, the Black Pope. This was the devil in human form. Now, these fallen angels, which are the aliens, our government, other governments call them, we have 200,000 of them registered in the National Security Agency, and there's 10 million cloned out of Hope, Arkansas, without a soul or a conscience, to go around killing people and doing the crazy stuff when they need a MKUltra type. They just grab a clone, use them. Now, this is what we're up against. When 12 are above the president of the United States, the 12 disciples of Satan, who are all possessed by fallen angels, these 200,000 of them, and they're aides to world leaders all over the planet, and a whole bit, and when one dies, they pick the next one that they're going to inhabit. And like Leonard Melman, at first it was Meyer Lansky, and then Leonard Melman, my ex-witch doctor's father. Then it became Larry Mizell because he did so well for the commission. He killed a lot of people, 150 of them, him and John King, and buried him in Juarez, Mexico, in a mass grave they found a few years back. A lot of dental work. Identified a lot of bodies from Colorado that's never been revealed. Here's the point. That fallen angel jumped in him. It's the same thing with this black pope, the pope, the devil himself. I think he already jumped in somebody else. I think he's here on the planet right now, like I mentioned before. Now, Paul brought up a conversation.
The testimony is a satanic ritual, and they have been practicing this since the Egyptian times. And if you look at the hat that they wear, it's the same hat that the Egyptian high priests were wearing, the Pope wears, the bishops wear, and they're doing satanic rituals. They say they're drinking blood out of a cup. That's a satanic ritual. Ringing the bell. That's calling ringing the bell for Satan to come into the room. The incense. Sprinkling incense around the room, that's to bring the Satan into the room. The lighting of the candles, this is all a satanic ritual that they are doing.
Now,
does that answer your question, Paul?
If I can add something real quick, Paul, and I'm with your questioner, I want to add something. There is a video on my website that shows a human sacrifice that just been performed. It was an ATF raid on a drug house, and they were shocked, and there was a video that I got years ago. Now, take a look at that, folks. That's a human sacrifice. And Charlene mentioned Finkelstein, Rabbi Finkelstein. And what is he going to do, Charlene, at the very end? They're going to get in their flying saucers, and they're going to go defeat God. Now, that interview is also on the front of my website, folks. You need to listen to it. Go ahead, Paul.
Well, I think we've covered a lot of territory, and I am at my either saturation point or gestation phase, and so I turn back to you guys for the closing words. I think it's been a very interesting broadcast, and thanks for including me.
Yeah, no problem. But I'll turn it back over to Charlene. Charlene, give us your last words on everything.
We are fighting against people who have good satanic rituals. And how do they get these demons in them? It's through these rituals. They welcome in these demons into their bodies. Just like how we welcome the Holy Spirit into us, these people have demons in them. And they cannot get them out. And it's just like once you got the Holy Spirit, you can't get him out either. You're with God. And these people are with the devil. And that's these people that are ruling our world right now. We are in the hands of some very wicked, evil people who want to kill us. And our church leaders, when the 501c3, are going to start turning us over to be killed by these people. And they're using Romans 13 that we're supposed to obey the government. And Hitler did the same thing. And so I'm just telling everybody, have your own walk with God. Don't trust nobody. I know I'm telling you about God and preaching the gospel to you. And a lot of the things that I preach to you today, you probably haven't heard it. Believe me, I studied the Bible for 3.5 years. And all the mysteries in the Bible, I learned them. I was studying Melchizedek and Enoch when God actually stopped me from doing my study. So
you were going to become a preacher. You were going to become a preacher. And he stopped
you. I was going to be a preacher, but I was going to be a healer that lays hands on people. And they would get healed, and they would be saved, and the Holy Spirit would come into you. I would lay hands on people. That's it. Because I had the impartation of the Holy Spirit, and that's how I received God. And because I developed that skill by studying the Bible, showing myself appointed that I was worthy to have the anointing, I studied. And so it's up to you and your own walk and read your own Bible and don't trust these people. You have to untrust right now. That's how we started this conversation, was trust that these people are just trusting the government to inject you with this poison. The same government that just stole the election and put in a senior Biden, I call him O'Biden, Obama flunky, who takes orders from Obama. He doesn't even know where he's coming or going. And a child molester who had sex with his own family. Okay, so we are in the hands of very evil people. And if you love your loved ones, don't trust the government. Don't trust the medical profession. It's all been corrupted, and we have nobody but God right now. And that's the only way you're going to be safe.
Made a very good point.
Charlie, one last question, and I know that we're up against time here. If a Christian is not walking with God, if a Christian is not holy and not righteous, should they think that their name is in the Book of Life?
Revelation chapter 3, God tells you, Jesus telling the angels, he said, even though you had a little strength, but because you refuse to give up my name, I will not blot out your name out of the Book of Life. And we're going to go up a bunch of hard battles here. And if you do slip, all you have to do is ask God to forgive you. You ain't got to go get communion off of a Catholic pope or a priest down at the church. You just ask God to forgive you and you repent. And if you don't feel that that's good enough, do the Psalm 51. Psalm 51 is the one where David is asking God. He's begging God not to take the Holy Spirit from him and to make him his wife now. And that's the same prayer that the Jews will be saying when the Antichrist is killing them, and that's the same prayer that they have to say to God, for God to stop them from being slaughtered. No, but see, the only way the devil has any access into any of our lives is through transgression. If you slip and you fall, and you don't ask God's forgiving, let's say swearing or having sex or going out drinking, and then asking God, you know it was bad, the Holy Spirit will say, that was wrong, and then you immediately say to God, I'm sorry, please forgive me. And He hears you, and He will. Does that answer your question?
It does, Charlene, and I think that's very encouraging, because I think there's a lot of us out here to think, wow, we are just too big a mess. We just...
No, because I was bad. I was evil. And I thought I was the most evil person at earth. And you know what? God saved me. He picked me up. And He saved me. And He loved me. And He forgave me. And He loves me. And He gave me the Holy Spirit. And look at the work that He uses me for now. See, and that's what man is. We all think that God won't forgive us because I've done this or I've done that. But as long as you come to Him with your open heart and you truly want Him to forgive you and you truly are sorry for what you did, He will forgive you. And if you have problems with, I did this, I had an abortion, or I went out and I cheated on my husband, and you still don't think God forgives you, He will. You just repent, and repent means you ask God to forgive you, and don't do it ever again, and God sees your works. He's watching us. Remember, He's all infinite. I'm sorry. I told you I was studying to become a pastor, and I knew the Bible.
Well, I'm loving it. Hey, you guys, I regret. I have to sign off. God bless both of you. Let's do it again soon, please.
With this, Charlene, before you sign off, Paul, Charlene, lead us in prayer on this, please.
I think I did enough prayer, didn't I? Heavenly Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, I humbly beseech you today, Lord. Please forgive everyone who comes to you today and ask for forgiveness, for drinking, for adultery, for Jonathan, let's say I'm not having sex, or fornicating, or prostitution, or abortion, whatever they have done, I ask you to forgive them. As Jesus is our advocate, He stands before the Father, and I'm asking you in Jesus' name. And Jesus said, whatever you ask the Father in my name, and it will be given to you by my Father in heaven. Whenever two come together in prayer and one night together, by whatever, anything and everything, it will be given to you by my Father in heaven. And we are asking for it today in Jesus' name.
Amen. By His blood, by His stripes. Thank you, Charlene. Thank you, Professor Paul. You two have a good day.